is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Together, give the Lord a hand of praise in this place. I've got to praise. Said I wasn't going to tell nobody. Just couldn't keep it to myself. Amen. God bless you, choir. God bless you. God bless you. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, oh God, that you would speak a word into our hearts, into our spirits, oh God. That will remind us that you are still in control. You're still in charge. We thank you, God, for the blessings we receive now through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord one more hand of praise, and I won't bother you about clapping anymore. Amen. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, there is a word for our families today. God wants us to know and understand that in spite of how fractured or how frail your family might be, there is healing for your home. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. There you will find these words. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to just say to families, thank you, ushers, on this day, that if we'll do it God's way, amen, there is hope and there is healing. How many of you know that Jesus can fix it? I know a lot of you are watching this show, Scandalous Scandal, amen. You're not watching it when it comes on. Recording it, but I definitely know y'all on Facebook talking about this show Scandal. And, this Olivia Pope, I believe, is the star character, and she's known as a fixer. I just want to tell you this morning that as good as Olivia Pope is at fixing things, she can't match our God. Do I have a witness today? So if you came here this morning hopeless, I hope that you will leave with hope, knowing that no matter how it looks or how you feel about it, God is able to fix it. But you need to understand, my brothers and sisters, that if you're going to fix it, you've got to fix it the Lord's way. Amen. Many times us brothers, when we are called upon to put something together that we bought at the hardware store, a lot of times we just feel like we don't need the instructions. We feel like we got enough sense. And y'all know I think I got pretty good sense. Amen. But I learned something about a week ago. I learned that an ironing board cannot be used to change a light bulb. And thank God that Walmart still sells ironing boards. Amen. Because that one it was totaled out. It was totaled. Amen. So many times, though, we go and we buy stuff and there are instructions on how to put it together. I see y'all looking at me saying that he should have known better. I know you took geometry, Pastor. Come on. Some things don't fit. You don't fit on the ironing board. Well, that's all right. Amen. I got a new ironing board. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. But if we're going to fix our families, if we're going to have healing for our homes, my brothers and sisters, we have to look to God for directions. We have to look to God for instruction. Amen. Because a lot of times we're looking at a pattern, and the Word of God gives us the pattern. The Word of God gives us the model. Amen. But many times the reality of our situations don't match up with what the Word of God says. And someone is here today and your family doesn't resemble God's model. Your home doesn't resemble God's intention. Your situation doesn't mirror scriptural ideas. However, I've come by this morning to let you know that God wants you to know that he can fix it. Tell your neighbor, he can fix it. He can fix it. Amen. So if you're looking for an ideal relationship in your family environment, then you ought to look to the Word of God. From God's Word, we have seen the picture of the family that can be yours, that can be ours, if we do it God's way. However, as is our problem in every walk of life, sin has crept into the equation. And because of our sin, our reality presents a different picture than the one God intended. Many of us have families that are fractured and fragmented. Our homes are horrific and horrible. It does not resemble the pattern that God designed. In God's picture, there is a working father, a stay-at-home mother, and obedient children. In God's picture, young men and women are virgins when they enter into the marriage covenant. Y'all getting quiet on me. In God's picture, people come together in marriage to form a partnership that's based on trust, communication, and mutual respect. In God's picture, every child is welcomed into the world with great joy as the parents gladly take on their roles, fulfilling God's directive to be fruitful and multiply. In God's picture, parents raise their children by example to be good Christians. Parents instill in them the values of hard work, strong morals, and compassion. In God's design, the family is productive not only in raising themselves, but also in giving back to the church, giving back to the community. Amen. The children grow up, work hard, get good jobs, and eventually start families of their own. Proud parents and grandparents look on with satisfaction, knowing that they fulfill their duty and can rest in the comfort that they pass on a worthy legacy that will last for generations to come. That's God's picture. I said that's God's picture. However, what we are used to is so opposite that God's design now sounds like a fairy tale to us. Virgin, stay-at-home mom. Come on now, in 2013, I mean, isn't it strange that we have strayed so far from the original intent that when we hear how it's supposed to work, it sounds like a fairy tale. Nowadays, more often than not, family means fighting. I know not at your house. I know not at your house. Amen. Homes are horrors. Troubled kids. I know not any of our families here, but amen. We can help somebody else. Financial chaos and confusion. Our reality is somewhat different. We have single mothers raising kids with no male influence in the home. Men who make babies but won't raise them. Grandparents raising grandkids. Children being exposed to grown folk problems. Some say, Pastor, my family is a mess. We do not produce anything but bitterness and despair. Your reality may be far from God's intent. You may be struggling to raise your children alone. You may have never known your father, even though your family may not be the picture described by God. The good news this morning is that God is interested in fixing our families. Tell your neighbor one more time, God can fix it. He can fix it. And my brothers and sisters, since we have strayed from God's intent, since our reality is what it is, let us see what we can do about it where we are. After all, there's no need in us coming here week after week discussing at length how great life in the world would be had Adam and Eve never sinned. The reality is that they did sin, and because of their sin and because of our sins, it distorted God's picture. It changed the configurations of life. Since we have deviated from God's plan, we should expect to have problems that God never intended for us to have or experience. But we ought to be grateful this morning that God loves us enough to bind our brokenness and cure our chaos. You ought to be thankful this morning that God is willing to fix our failures. He will bandage our bruises. He will give strength to the struggling. He will help us manage our messes. God wants to fix the family. And so he says to us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed. Tell your neighbor, don't conform. Don't conform. Amen. Our disease and broken concepts must be, watch this, transformed by a renewed mind. That brings me to our first point this morning. If you're going to have the kind of family that God wants you to have, the first thing you've got to do, you've got to not let the world define you. You gotta reach a point in your walk with God that you stop seeing yourself and your family as a statistic defined by the world. Don't allow the world to define you or your situation. Take your cues from the Lord. Amen. You got to learn how to take your cues from the Lord. I thank God that I learned a long time ago that if I'm going to make it in this life, I had to be delivered from people, and I had to be delivered from what people thought about me. Amen. I heard somebody say, it's not what they call you, but it's what you answer to. Can I get a witness here? Is there anybody who figured it out? You figured it out that you've got to take your cues from the Lord about who you are. You've reached the point in your life where you stop letting people define you, where you stop letting people tell you when you can be happy and when you ought to be sad, when you stop letting people tell you when to have joy, when to get your praise. Oh, I know I got one or two folk in here who have moved beyond people far enough that you don't need a praise leader to tell you when to put your praise on. There are some of you who've grown enough that you don't need pastor to tell you when to clap, and you don't need any cues or signals on when you ought to stand, or when you ought to say hallelujah, and when you ought to say thank you, Lord. Stop letting the world define you. Oh my, I use the Bible as a definition of who I am and who I'm supposed to be. Amen. The Bible says that you were made in the image and likeness of God. Oh, do you know what that tells me? That tells me that you might look at this big fella up here and say he's too big and he's out of shape and all of that. But when I look in the mirror, I'm reminded of what the Word says, that I'm made in the image and likeness of God. And you may not like how I look, but I thank God that he made me just as I am. I thank him. I helped him. I added a little to it. Amen. But I thank him because I could be sick and in a bed. See, it ain't all in looks. Some of us in this society teaches us so much about how we're supposed to look. And some of you women have about lost your mind because you're trying to, you've been looking at some magazine, amen, with these models in these magazines, and you've been eating Special K and all that other stuff, trying to get out to that size. You ought to back up to the mirror and realize you will never be that size. Can I get a witness here? Going back to geometry, you ought to look at your bone structure. No, you ain't going to ever be Angelina Jolie or Beyonce or Gabriel Union or Halle Berry. What? I don't forget. Okay. All right. Let the word define you. Amen. The word says all things work together for good to those who love God. Amen. Stuff may not be lining up just like you want it to line up, and folk might be pointing fingers at you and said, if you did this, you wouldn't be in that trouble, or, and so on and so forth. But if I remember what the word says that if I love God, that if I make him a priority in my life, I don't care what you talk and whisper and gossip. Amen. God's going to work it out for my good. Are there any folk here who can say experientially that you found out in your walk with God that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how dark it looks, amen, no matter what folk are saying about it, God can take what was meant for evil. He'll work it out for your good. You better let the word define your family. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Stuff I used to do, I don't do as much. Places I used to go, I don't go as much. Oh my, come on. Am I the only one? I'm not everything I ought to be. Come on, you may as well be real with God. I'm not everything I want to be. I'm not everything the Bible says I should be. But one thing I know, I've made some progress. I said I've made some progress. I ain't what I used to be. Oh, give him praise, give him praise. Let the word, let the word, let the word define you. Because you belong to God. Make the best of who God made you and who God gave you. Stop jumping ship so easily. Soon as another PYT comes by your window. For you younger folk, that's a pretty young thing. There you go. Amen. Chasing another tail. Tell your neighbor the grass ain't always greener on the other side. Amen. Sometimes you get over there and figure out it ain't even grass. Do I have a witness here? You better let the word define you. The family instills values and dreams. And I want to encourage you families, make your family unit a support system. Your children ought not have to go to a counselor, amen, to get counseling. They ought to be able to sit at the table with mama and daddy and tell them what's happening at the schoolhouse. Make your family unit a support system. Oh, my. Husband, your wife ought not have to run the pastor, amen. Talking about she's depressed and she's discouraged and all of that. I welcome that, but she ought to be able to turn to you in the midnight hour. Nudge you and wake you up and say, babe, I'm dealing with some stuff on my job that's driving me crazy and I just need to talk about it. Come on, can I get any help here today? Make your family unit a support system, a lifeline in times of trouble, a cushion if you fall. A family's unconditional love and acceptance ought to propel us to heights of greatness. Stop letting the world define you. Stop letting the world. Your family ought to be a team. Amen. It ought to be a mighty force. It ought to be an unbeatable source of love and support. My sister's here today. My sister closest to me. Amen.
And there were times, there were many times we got into it all the time. Amen. We would fuss and she would just beat me up and then run and tell my dad. God forgive me. No, that was me. Okay. All right. But anyway. Oh, we fought each other. But let somebody else mess with your boy. Let somebody else have something to say about Veronica. And I was going to come to her defense because a family ought to be like a team. Can I get a witness here? Now, one thing I know about a team is that in football, they have these jamborees and scrimmages where the team divides itself and they play against each other. Amen. That's so that when they come against the real opposition, they'll be ready. So just because you're having some fights in your family don't mean you need to give up ship. Amen. Just because you have some arguments along the way doesn't mean you need to run and go to somebody else. God is just preparing you so that when your real enemies come, oh, come on, help me somebody. You can handle it better. You can handle it better. And I know that we have a lot of mothers who are single parents. Amen. And you're trying to raise young people, you're trying to raise kids by yourself. You're bringing home the bacon and cooking it too. You're responsible for paying the bills, discipline the children, going to their school, trying to be both a mother and a father. But no matter how diligent they are, no matter how loving, no matter that they are doing a phenomenal parenting job, they still need to compensate for the deficit of there being a lack of a male role model. In church, we've got to step up. Amen. We've got to be the kind of Christian role models that young men can look to and say, amen, that's how I want to model my life after this individual. They ought not have to look to the world for role models. They ought to be able to look at the church. So the first thing we've got to do, families, if you're going to let God heal your home, you've got to not let the world define you. But then secondly, you've got to not let your past determine you. I've always been concerned and disturbed as to why there seems to be more dysfunction in the African-American community than in other communities. You know, amen, that whatever problems are prevalent in other communities, they are more so in ours. And that ought to disturb us, amen? Amen. That ought to bother us. That ought to bother us. We've been shaped by our history. And do you know that with the exception of sin, slavery was the most horrific and horrible and damaging and debilitating event known to humanity? The beatings, although horrendous, were not the worst part. The murders, as atrocious as they were not the worst part. The greatest atrocity that has had the longest lasting repercussions was the loss of the family unit. Just a century ago, y'all, African-American families did not exist. Loyalty to a woman or a child was disallowed. Our men were rewarded for making babies they were not allowed to take care of. Our children were crops to be sold at auctions. Our wives were whoever would bear the greatest harvest. And then slavery ended. And what did you have? Men with no fathers to teach their sons how to make a marriage work, emancipated, but incapacitated. Do you hear me today? And I need you to understand it's a slow recovery, but the good news is that God wants to fix it. Amen. Today, many of our men still struggle, pained by the failed attempts to become husbands and fathers without role models to follow. They have no direction, no concept of how to behave. Men that have been called boy all of their lives were left with anger and shattered self-esteem. And this is the legacy they give to their sons. Generations of rage often acted out against the wives and children who are the least deserving but the most accessible. A lot of anger in black men. Can we be real this morning? Man, a lot of built up stuff in our hearts. Amen. If no man wants to be called a boy. But during those times, you had to be called it and just take it. Amen. And so there's a lot of built up frustration and anger in many of us, and we take it out on the people closest to us, the ones that we ought to be showering with love, the ones that we ought to be lifting up and elevating. Amen. We take it out on them, but I've come by this morning to tell you, my brothers, we got to let the anger go. We got to realize that God has made provision. He has a plan for us, amen, to rise up. We ought, thank God we can look to the White House today and realize that God can fix it. Do I have a witness who knows he can fix it? He can fix it. We ought to be able to look at our president and our first lady, amen, and their family and realize that what is possible. We ought to be able to realize that it is possible to have a family the way God wants it to be. Oh my, so number one, you've got to not let the world define you. Secondly, you've got to not let the past determine you. But then finally, families, if you're going to get healing, you've got to let God's word direct you. The great news is that in spite of our mess ups, in spite of our fractured and fragmented families, in spite of the horror in our home, in spite of the crisis confronting our children, the good news of the hour is that God stands ready to heal our homes. Fortunately for us this morning, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love is long-suffering. He tells us that love is kind. Tells us that love bears or waits for all things. He tells us that love believeth all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And I'm glad to report to you this morning, Pleasant Hill, that God is love. And since God is love, God will be patient with us, even though we've deviated and distorted his design. I'm glad to know that he will still bring healing to our homes. So I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but if your home is in a mess, I've come by to tell you today that God can make a miracle out of our messes. Do I have a witness today? Is there anybody here? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you're willing to admit you made some mistakes, you're willing to admit you didn't do it God's way, but now that you've seen the master plan, you realize that if you give it to Jesus, he will work it out. Won't he work it out? Are there any witnesses today? You know your family was in a mess. You know your relationship was on the verge of ending.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.
I want y'all to stand to your feet and help me welcome my brother, Brother Spanky Williams!
Friends and loved ones have done you wrong. Gave them your love.